Good morning. I'm Laura Lee Axtell. Merry Christmas. Yes, still, as the church continues to celebrate Christ's birth, I invite you to bask in the goodness of God. Welcome. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worshiped with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast today is sponsored by Jane Schutte in honor of Sarah's birthday on the December 23rd and in memory of Butch Schutte, and also by John and Jan Leif in celebration of their 63rd wedding anniversary, and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members. The message today is Jesus Grows Us Up by Pastor Jan. The Christmas offering is being collected in honor of all who faithfully serve and in memory of Larry Lehman. The council voted to designate the proceeds of our Christmas offering for the Lee Sewer County Food Shelf, where Larry and Cindy gave selflessly of their time and energy. Your gift will support the vital work of feeding the people in our community who are fighting battles daily to provide enough food for their loved ones. End of year giving. Please remember that any donations received after December 31st will be counted toward 2025 giving. The 2025 offering envelopes are available in the overflow area. If you don't see one with your name on it, please contact the church office. You may use them after January 1st. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
Some years feel darker. We make lists of what was lost. We ask each other, what went wrong? Who's to blame? Why now? Where is the light? But he has come. Born that dark night, laid in manger straw, the babe grew so bright they were afraid. I have come into the world, he said. Don't say you believe in me and stay in the darkness. Now, more than ever, we who are His must walk in His light, free from the shadows, shining boldly in a world weary of despair, declaring in the open, light has come. Darkness is defeated. The night is fading. The Savior is born.
We gather here in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you join with me now in our call to worship? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Will you please rise now as you are able and join together in the singing of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
we say there's no sin among us, we only deceive ourselves and make ourselves strangers to the truth. With confidence in God's great mercy toward us, let us pray our prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful God, we enter your presence confessing the things we try to conceal from you and the things we try to conceal from others. We confess the heartbreak, worry, and sorrow we have caused that make it difficult for others to forgive us. The times we have made it easy for others to do wrong. The harm we have done that makes it hard for us to forgive ourselves. Lord, have mercy and forgive us through Christ. Amen. We pray in silence. Friends, the good news to us this first Sunday of Christmas is this. The light has come into the world, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus Christ personally bore our sins in his body on the cross, that you and I might be dead to sin and alive to all that's new and good. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. We are loved and accepted as we are today. Thanks be to God. God's own people, forgiven and set free, let's greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Plenty of room to move and get around this morning, right? I have several prayer concerns this morning. Please hold these people in prayer, not only today, but throughout the week. For Mickey Alquist, he's having back surgery tomorrow. We pray for a speedy recovery. For Shelby Leaders, as she recovers from pneumonia. Others. We pray healing prayers for Leroy Weil, the father of David and grandfather of Nate and Matt. For the family and friends of Suzanne Gilbert, formerly from Le Sueur, Suzanne passed away. Thank you for continuing your prayers for that family. We pray also an anniversary celebration for John and Jan Lave. Congratulations, 63 years. It took that long to train him in. Birthday blessings for Jeff Lave. Jeff, is that you? Okay, there's the birthday boy. Just what he wanted, to be recognized by the whole church, right? We ask for healing prayers for Lois Andreessen. I got a message from Craig this morning that Lois fell and broke her arm, and she is in a facility there close to New Brighton where she's been living for the past few years, and she's expected to recover fully and return home. I'll be seeing her today, and it'll be nice to send your good wishes and prayers for her recovery. And this note of joy from Bob and Betty Brown. Thank you all for your prayers and support the past 7 months during Bob's cancer journey. It is through your prayers, the miracle of modern medicine, and the great team of medical professionals that the cancer is now in remission. Praise be to God. I invite you now to a time of prayer. Let's begin in the silent meditations of our own hearts. Almighty and gracious God, for these dear people among us, some who are here this morning, some who are not, we give you thanks and we rejoice that you unite us together in one human family. As we celebrate today the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we bring our prayers before you, asking for blessings on all the families of the earth and trusting in your loving care. We pray for the church, that it may always guide families to grow in faith, love, and holiness. For the leaders of nations, that they may create policies in this world that support the dignity and stability of families. Especially we pray for those who are this very morning suffering from the effects of war, those in Ukraine, those in Israel, Gaza, and Lebanon. All over this world, Lord God, your people suffer and cry out. Hear us, O Lord. We pray also for families that are experiencing discord and hardship in their lives. We pray that they can find healing and reconciliation. And for family structures that look very different from our own, that our hearts may be open to embrace them. We pray also for those who are alone or without family, that they may find comfort and belonging within this great family of God. And we lift up in prayer all those this morning who are unable to be with us this day, those who are ill, those who suffer from injury. May all, Lord God, be healed by you, your loving touch, and by the prayers of this community. We especially remember this morning the family of Lisa Penny Johnson and pray, Lord God, that you bring them comfort and hope. for all those who have died, our family members, beloved members of this congregation. We pray that they may rejoice forever in your presence. And we pray for all those who continue to mourn, that they may find peace and hope in the assurance of our salvation. Good and gracious God, you've given us the Holy Family as a model of faith and love. Hear our prayers. Bless all human families, that they may grow closer to you and to one another. Through Christ our Lord, we pray as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a beautiful crown in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
With a touch.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. Now every year the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of this. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations upon all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It could have been an argument about getting a tattoo or going to a party where there were going to be lots of older kids. I don't really remember now. What I do remember is this: my older daughter's bedroom door slammed shut, and I heard the words I never thought I'd hear. "Mom, you just don't get it." Well, at first I thought, "No, you're wrong. I definitely do get it, and that's why I'm telling you no." But the next day, I got to thinking about it and realized something that I hadn't really fully considered before. My kids really were growing up. They didn't just need new shoes every time their feet grew bigger. They needed me. They needed me to grow with them. And although I was right about setting a boundary for my teenager, I really didn't know everything I needed to know after all. I didn't know how much it really hurts sometimes to be a parent. Somebody much wiser than I said, "There are places in your heart you don't even know exist until you love a child." I thought of that little episode many years ago, just the other day, when I received a text from that same daughter, now 36 years of age, telling me how much she loved me and couldn't wait to get back to Minnesota to celebrate Christmas. We're coming to the end of the year, and Magazines and TV shows like to take us back in time through the course of the year, highlighting the news stories, all the milestones and elections and marriages and divorces, Olympic records, scandals. This morning, though, in the Gospel of Luke, we look back 2,000 years. Historians tell us that it was probably about 8 AD when the boy Jesus entered the temple, separating from his parents. And we can hardly imagine what the news would have been like back in 8 AD. The headlines? The breaking news bulletins? If you were a newscaster in Rome, you might have reported that General Tiberius defeated the Illyrians. If there had been a National Enquirer, the front page would have featured Caesar's granddaughter, Julia. She was sent into exile by her grandfather for having an affair with a senator. Caesar Augustus ordered her baby to be left abandoned on a mountainside to die. And in that same year, he also had Julia's husband, Lucius, put to death for a conspiracy. It was like Charles Dickens said about London in the 1800s, the best of times, the worst of times. And in other local news, unknown to most of the world in the year 8 AD, the gospel writer had this to say. The child grew in wisdom and stature and in favor in the sight of humankind and God. Which to us this Sunday means that Jesus is no longer that adorable little baby. This Messiah of ours actually had a childhood, a mother, a father, a neighborhood, chores to do, things to learn, trees to climb. But because this was a very normal boyhood, there were no historians lining up to announce what seemed to be to them unimportant, insignificant news. Now the emperor, the senator, the unfortunate granddaughter, and everybody else in the rest of the world would have been completely unaware of this boy from Nazareth. Even people who saw him every day in the marketplace or on the streets, this boy, Yeshua, would have looked like and sounded like everybody else. Now we might be thinking, shouldn't there have been some incredible sign of Jesus' identity? Maybe a blazing star overhead or an angel chorus? If you were looking for a miracle or an epiphany event, this account of a normal boy in a normal family might just seem a little bit disappointing. Except it really shouldn't be. Disappointing, that is. In fact, how blessed we are that God gave us a son who walked the earth as we do. In fact, had Jesus lived today, he might have tried out and made it on the basketball team, might have brought home great report cards. Maybe he was voted in as a representative for student council, and he went to synagogue every single week. That normal, uneventful boyhood is wonderful news for us because God gave us a Savior who spent his early years living and learning and growing as we do, as our children and grandchildren do. His parents would have had expectations for him. His siblings had a reliable older brother, one who played with them, shared with them, and learned to get along. You see, growing up as Jesus did, he had a lived experience of the most important aspect of human life, relationships. He had knowledge and insight into family life and neighbors. How else could Jesus have spoken with such depth and insight about a Samaritan taking care of a man left alongside the road. How else could Jesus have given us those wonderful stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the mustard seed? He didn't grow up in a mansion with nannies or special tutors. He wasn't born to privilege and wealth. And most importantly, Jesus didn't come to earth as a fully formed adult. How else could Jesus have understood and welcomed and loved the little children? Jesus lived that way for about 12 years before the world ever really got a glimpse of what made him so extraordinary. Little did the priests in the temple know that this young man sitting before them that day was preparing to die for them. Little did they know that their highest, holiest day of the year, the Passover, would one day become the occasion for a new covenant sealed in his own blood. On that particular day, the most learned and holiest of men in all Jerusalem simply marveled at this exceptional knowledge of history and faith of the Jewish people. All they could see that day was this brilliant whiz kid with a bright future ahead of him. In fact, during that discussion with the religious leaders, it doesn't really appear as though any of them even bothered to ask about his parents or where he was from. And shouldn't he be with the rest of his family? At that moment, Jesus was missing. And we hear this story about every 3 years so often that we tend to forget the incredible effect that this would have had on that little family and the indelible impression that this would have made on him. Just think about Mary and Joseph's anguish and then place alongside that the parable of the lost sheep, the prodigal son. And in each of those stories, each encounter, the message was the echo of a boy found by his parents one spring day back in 8 AD. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. In his parents' distress and in their absolute joyous relief, Jesus found his voice. These are the very first words publicly that we hear from him. And they give a window into his very last words. It is finished. At that moment, and only at that moment, do those words begin to make sense to these mortal ears of ours. Did you not know that I had to be about my Father's business? At that moment, the 12-year-old Jesus declared that that little house in Nazareth was no longer his permanent address. Now it was clear. Jesus really was growing up. And Mary and Joseph had to grow up with him. For the next 8 years, Jesus would belong not only to the family of Joseph and Mary, but he'd be moving toward his destiny as the Savior of humankind. For now, though, Luke ends this story by telling us Jesus went back home with them and was obedient to them. Some of the very, very best stories in history are about going home, aren't they? I don't know if you read the Odyssey by Homer when you were in high school. We had to read that. Dorothy returning to Kansas after her adventures in the Land of Oz. George Bailey returning to Bedford Falls. Ebenezer Scrooge coming back home after his nightmarish night with the ghost of Christmas yet to come. In each and every one of those stories, the main character returns home with this newfound knowledge of who they are, keenly aware of the path they're on. Which is how we might say, home is wherever we truly find ourselves. And from Jesus, we learn that home isn't so much about a geography or a zip code or that comfortable old chair in the living room, but a state of knowing where we belong ultimately and what we need to do. That's the foundation of growing up. As our young people leave for college or the military or move away for a job, we might feel something close to what Mary and Joseph felt that day as they left the temple and went back home. It's only natural that our hearts break just a little bit to love a child so fiercely and then to let them go. Through the years, I've heard lots of parents say, "I really can't believe it. Seems like only yesterday they were learning to ride a bike and now they're off on their own." In fact, it's a little hard for us to believe that just a few days ago on Wednesday, we knew exactly where Jesus was. He was in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem, all wrapped in swaddling clothes, with two adoring parents at his side caring for him. And then in the blink of an eye, on one spring day, 12 years later, Joseph turns to Mary and says, "Where's Jesus? I thought he was with you." That set into motion not a tragedy, but a teachable moment into the mystery of God's dealing with all of us. Jesus growing up means that we're growing too. To us in modern times, growing up might mean reaching a certain age, like 18 or 21. For some, it may come much later. For some, they may wind up in their parents' basements. There's an old saying that says, "Christmas was meant for children." It's a lovely sentiment, isn't it? It's actually set to music. It brings us a lot of nostalgia. But that statement is really a little bit dishonest. Christmas was meant for grown-ups too. The coming of Christ into this world of disappointment and disruption is news. It's news for all of us. It's the greatest news we can ever hear. God entered this world of tyrant kings like Herod, people drunk on power like Caesar Augustus. Sure, there was the birth of a Savior, but did anything change in Jerusalem or Rome? More to the point, does anything change for us? You see, the promise of Christmas isn't that God is going to suddenly fix all our problems. The promise is not that there are going to be no more flat tires or angry kids slamming doors and shouting. The promise is that God is now with us in our betrayals, in our denials, with us in our heartache, with us in our failures. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Of course, it's true. On Christmas Eve, there were still people sitting alone. People in this sanctuary still filled with regret. People in this very sanctuary that were still praying for an end to violence and hunger in this world. But as followers of Christ, what we hold up for this world is not that God is going to suddenly fix all our problems. What we hold up at Christmas time is the joy that God has found us. And we are no longer alone. So as we return to our homes today, like Mary and Joseph did so long ago. This promise still rings true. We have been found. We are saved. And we grow up. Those difficulties and detours that lie out ahead of us aren't going to disappear, but in our growing up, God will give us the power, the grace, and the love to overcome those very obstacles. People in your life may go missing, but not forever. And finally, our brokenness matters so much to God that He came into this world to hold us together, holding us together in the holiest and most human expression of love, a Savior who was once a child. We call Him Christ the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you please join together now in our next to invite the ushers forward for our morning offering. God of grace, the coming of your Son Jesus broke open the heavens and prepared a way for all your children to come home to you. Give us eyes to see your miraculous Spirit moving in this church and in this world. All we are and all we have are yours alone. Accept this joyful offering as a token of our abiding love. Use it to bring peace, justice, and comfort to all the world. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. Our King has come again.